CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Pakistan, Afghanistan. Once upon a time, the relationship between these countries was vital to understand the commitment that the U.S. and NATO made to protecting the Afghanistan peoples from the Taliban and their al-Qaeda colleagues, representatives, neighbors. Also, the Islamic State was part of the mix once upon a time. Now the U.S. and NATO are gone, and we have news that Pakistan has carried out airstrikes inside Afghanistan, that Afghanistan has responded with a counterattack, and we have news from the ministry in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, about what is happening right now, what this means for the Pakistani people who have just gone through an election process. Afghanistan is non-transparent. I welcome Arif Rafiq of Globally News, a subscription site I recommend, to help us untangle what right now are competing headlines out of London, chiefly within these last hours. Arif, a very good evening to you. Attack, counterattack, statement, statement. What is the trigger for this? If anything, what are the results? Good evening to you.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me on. Well, the trigger is the attack by Pakistani Taliban forces on a Pakistani military post in North Waziristan, which is one of the seven former tribal areas that border Afghanistan. This is an area that has, since 9/11, has hosted al-Qaeda, the Pakistani Taliban, the Afghan Taliban, and the related Haqqani Network group. And so this has been an area that's been at the center of insurgencies that have targeted Afghanistan and Pakistan. After the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, the area has renewed as an insurgent hotbed for the Pakistani state. And many of these militants are actually based in Afghanistan and then bleed into Pakistan. And so the attack this weekend was perpetrated by a group known as the Hafiz Gul Bahadur Network. This entity was once aligned with the Pakistani military, as well as the Haqqani Network, and it essentially facilitated the insurgency against U.S. forces and the Afghan government from the mid 2000s into the U.S. withdrawal in 2021. But it broke with the Pakistani military in 2014 when the Pakistani military launched ground operations in North Waziristan after the Pakistani Taliban massacred children at an army public school in Peshawar in 2014. And so that triggered the breakup of the Hafiz Gul Bahadur Network with the Pakistani state. And this attack this weekend, which took the lives of seven Pakistani soldiers, including a lieutenant colonel, is the latest manifestation of that war between the Hafiz Gul Bahadur Network and the Pakistani Taliban with the Pakistani state, and specifically the Pakistani military.
So this is the predicate for a predicate for airstrikes that are now the reigning news. The Telegraph is saying that the Taliban in Kabul is saying these were reckless airstrikes that killed Afghanistan citizens, and the counterattack has not launched yet or is beginning to launch. I want to understand the relationship between the Taliban in Kabul and the Pakistani Taliban. Do they have a working relationship? Are they the same people? Do they consult with each other before military operations?
Yeah, and that it's really unclear. And so I think we do have evidence that the Afghan Taliban is at the very least providing a safe haven for the Pakistani Taliban. And there are conflicting, I think, views within the Taliban organization on how to handle this. And so some within the organization see the Pakistani Taliban as leverage against the Pakistani military and the Pakistani state. Others are fearful of taking stern action against the group and then triggering the Pakistani Taliban's defection to ISIS affiliates inside Afghanistan. And you know, your listeners may notice a pattern. This language that is being used by the Afghan Taliban, in both in their public language as well as in their private talks with Pakistani officials, mirrors what Pakistani officials had long said to U.S. officials about about dealing with the Afghan Taliban in their own country. And so what the Pakistani government is facing these days vis-a-vis the Afghan Taliban and insurgents that are based in Afghanistan is very much analogous to what we faced when we were there in Afghanistan. And I think what it points toward is the perennial problem of any Pakistani state in terms of dealing with the Afghan government. And so there were also insurgents that were targeting the Pakistani state from Afghanistan during the previous regime. And that included not just jihadist elements, but also ethnic separatists. And so I think what it points toward is a broader challenge in terms of how the Afghan state deals with Pakistan. We have irredentist tendencies within the Afghan political culture, and that extends beyond sort of the religious secular binary and includes Afghans of all stripes. And so that's a perennial challenge that any Pakistani state would have to face.
The Ministry of Foreign Affairs put out a statement following these events. We have repeatedly urged the Afghan authorities to take concrete and effective action to ensure that the Afghan soil is not used as a staging ground for terrorism against Pakistan. That's straightforward. The Sharifs are now in charge. What is their position towards that statement and towards Afghanistan?
Yeah, you know, the Sharifs are in power because the military essentially put them in power. And they've ceded not just control over much of the economy, but also national security and foreign policy to the military. And so I think they would prefer not to have a direct clash with the Afghan Taliban and this sort of state entity that now exists in Afghanistan. But in the end, they're going to have to follow the military's lead. The military felt the need to respond to this attack on Saturday, which killed its forces. And so, as you'd said earlier, there were these airstrikes in two provinces of Afghanistan, in Khost and Paktika. And so the Sharifs are going to let the military take the lead. I think they'll try to soften things and use the Foreign Office or the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to sort of soften the military's approach towards Afghanistan. I don't think they see any benefit in a direct clash. But in the end, it's the military that's in the driver's seat, not just on national security and foreign policy, but on the economy as well. And so they're a minor partner in this sort of coalition between the military and a set of political actors that now rule Pakistan.
And about a minute left, this statement: certain elements among those in power in Afghanistan are actively patronizing TTP and using them as a proxy against Pakistan. That's the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. What is that meant to achieve, certain elements? Do they mean the whole government, or are they talking about individuals?
Yeah, and so that's where you see the civilian hand in the statement. They're not trying to paint the Taliban with single image, and so they're trying to isolate certain actors and at least give the sort of proto-state entity in Afghanistan the space to say we're going to take care of the situation and sort of clamp down on the Pakistani Taliban without holding the whole Afghan state or the Taliban-ruled government responsible. And so that's where you see the civilian hand in shaping this public communication amid this crisis.
Is that the Haqqani network they're talking about that's linked to al-Qaeda at the same time?
Yeah, they could be talking about the Haqqani network. I think that may be the insinuation or elements within the Haqqani network. And so that's sort of the ambiguity in terms of what's going on, who exactly is responsible within the Afghan Taliban network. But I think the Foreign Office and the civilians in Pakistan would like to avoid a full-on clash with the Afghan Taliban. And so this statement is a way to sort of manage this crisis.
Arif Rafiq of Globally News, a subscription site I recommend. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.